is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Back at it on a Friday. Happy Friday to you all. Good morning, Kansas City. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, all with you on this wonderful Friday morning. Looks nice and peaceful outside. It's like 68 degrees and it's August 21st. Gotta love that. So I hope you all are out there enjoying your wonderful Friday.
Happy birthday to my dad today.
Nice.
Yeah.
The old man's birthday.
The old man's
today.
Birthday is today. So he's 77 today.
Let's go.
Yeah. 77
nice.
Today. So happy birthday, Dad. Love you. Call you later. Talk to you. Happy birthday. It's
going to
be
a good later.
One. Yeah. Should be a great one for him. 77 years old today, man.
What do you think is the one food item your dad would want for his birthday?
Ooh, I don't know.
Coleslaw?
No, probably not the coleslaw. I think he'd do better
you
than
gotta
that.
You got to get the coleslaw.
Got to get the coleslaw, though. If it comes with it, you got to get the coleslaw. I don't know. Lobster tail, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, really?
Ooh,
okay.
Nice. Yeah, maybe a lobster tail. I think that sounds good. I mean, you're 77 years old. You might as well have a lobster, right?
Mom got a whole day planned for him already?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't think so. I mean, by
you're
the time
77,
he,
Bob, go do whatever like, you want
to
do.
By the time he goes to the bathroom, it's tomorrow, so it doesn't matter.
At least
your
he's at home.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
I wish you could like send booze in the mail. I just send him a bottle of Maker's Mark.
You can
send
it? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I just wrap it up and mail it. Send it in the mail. There's booze delivery services too and places you can order, you know, that stuff online.
I would ask if your dad has Venmo, but we don't have enough time on the show.
I don't think that. No. I know my mother does not. No, they don't believe in that. Nope.
But if I don't have the money in my hand, how do I get the money? Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
What about the Wi-Fi? She's a Zelle, not Venmo. Okay. She's on the Zelle.
She's hip. That's good.
Yeah. It's easier to transfer between different banks
and things like that.
So she uses that because she used to mail the kids and us, you know, checks and money and cash. They started stealing it. I can't tell you how many times. Our cards never arrived, or they'd come and they were open and the money was taken out. I'm not kidding. It's like unbelievable.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, Zelle's actually even better. Just instant. Boom,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah, it's an immediate transfer for you. So, yeah, she uses that. So
nice. So this comes from Ms. Dirkness, pretty popular follow in Kansas City. He quotes this tweet saying, I knew the Chiefs running game was bad. I had no idea it was this bad. The text though, says K-9's presence will help the deep passing game. He will help the play action game. He will help the screen game. He will help the offensive line. He will help take pressure off of Mahomes. Oh, and these explosive runs won't hurt either. A stat from Nate Tice that blew my damn mind. Of every NFL offseason or every NFL offense since 2002, the 2025 Chiefs ranked 755th of 768 teams in explosive run percentage. In 2024, the Chiefs ranked 758th. Enter Kenneth the Dog Walker, who ranked second in the NFL in that category in 2025. Essentially, the Chiefs tried to scare defenders in the box with a guard hamster last season, while this year they'll be unleashing a pit bull. Pretty good text there.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, the best.
It's crazy too when you see those numbers and how bad this team was. And Kelsey's Jason, was on the broadcast last night, and I don't know if you guys saw him. Like, it was so fun to watch him on TV because he had so much to say, and they were like doing TV stuff like 10 seconds, and he's raising his hand as he's in Houston trying to get their attention, and it was about Andy Reid. He goes, "Yeah, I was just at the camp." He goes, "And they are running the football. Mark my words, they are making a commitment to this running game. They know how bad it has been. They will be running the football." And for Jason Kelce to say that means he got all that information when he was up there. And Andy Reid's his former coach. It's the guy that drafted him. Obviously, there's a huge connection with the Kelce family and the Reeds. And if Jason Kelce is saying that and being so adamant about that on Monday Night Football, yeah, they're going to run the football. They know how bad it is. Like I said yesterday when Andy gave the address to Grandview High School for Diane Houston and mentioned that you always have to be learning in this address that he gave to the school. One of the things that he wants the teachers and all the students to constantly learn Andy is constantly learning, and I love that about Andy Reid. He may be 68, but he doesn't act it. He's always learning and moving forward. And to hear Jason Kelce say that yesterday, they're going to run the football. I promise you, they're going to run the football. They're making a concerted effort to run the football. Now I'm excited to see them run the football, man. Not that I wasn't before, but I think they are. I think it's going to be a run, then pass type of offense until people start to say, all right, we got to stop the run, and then boom, we're just going to nail you over the top, man, and just kick your ass that way.
I was having this conversation with a few buddies yesterday. Because Ken Walker's what? Maybe the 11th best running back in football?
I've seen him in the top 10. You know, depends on what list you look at.
Yeah. 9 through 12, 8 through 12, somewhere in there. Yeah.
And that addition is insane for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Whereas, like, we talked about this earlier last week about how Ken Walker to, I don't know, the Rams would have been like, oh, cool, nice. But Ken Walker to the Chiefs is like,
we need him. Yeah.
Thank goodness, man. We need somebody that has some sort of vision, some sort of educational way to run the ball. And then not only that, to say that the addition of Ken Walker, you draft Emmett Johnson, you go get DeMarcado. By the way, you got DeMarco Murray and Eric Bieniemy back on this team. There was no doubt in my mind. There was one thing that the Chiefs knew they needed to do, and that was get somebody that was compliant enough to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe Ken Walker, from what you see on the field, doesn't put you in the top 12, but what he does for this team and what he can possibly do for this team puts him as a number one addition to this roster.
Well, that's why I think it's comparable to what Tyrann Mathieu was to the defense in 2019. I mean, maybe he wasn't the perfect fit for the Jets. I don't know why I came up with the Jets, but maybe he wasn't the perfect fit for the Jets.
Not only that, but maybe he wasn't your number one pick in the league for maybe a free safety.
Right, exactly. Right. He wasn't the number one out there in the top 10, 12, probably, but he was the perfect player at the perfect time in the perfect situation here in Kansas City. And that's, to me, what Ken Walker ends up being. He may not be the best running back in the NFL, but he could be that perfect addition at the perfect time in the perfect situation, just like Tyrann Mathieu was, and have that kind of impact. It's all about what you're doing impactfully on your team and how you impact your team. And you're right, the Rams or the Lions or the Falcons may look at Kenneth Walker, oh, we don't need a guy like that. But the Chiefs look at him and go, we need that guy. We have to have a guy like that. And so that's why I think it is going to be good, because he is that perfect fit right now for this offense, man. It's like everything you hear about this guy is just loving and glowing and wonderful. And, you know, they were talking about Ken Walker yesterday as well, about it's not necessarily what he does on the field. It's all the stuff that he does off the field and the work ethic that he has, the classroom setting stuff, the willingness to learn, the willingness to get better. All of that kind of stuff factors in. And that's why I'm excited too about Ken Walker. He's just not going to sit back and, you know, rest on his laurels because he won the Super Bowl MVP last year.
No, he's so locked in. He's such a football first guy, and that attitude's contagious. Then they kind of needed that reinvigoration of like, oh, this guy means business.
Pat needs another nerd with him, right? To watch game film
100%. Exactly. He's just going to help. He's going to lift everything up about this offense. He's going to be the biggest improvement to any team that they've had, that any team's had this offseason on the field.
And the addition of Ken Walker, I hope, obviously, that he's productive on the field, but I hope that he gives Andy no reasonable doubt to be like, hey, man, you can run it. I promise. You can run the ball. It's going to work, because it's going to open up everything else. Because if you have to respect him, you have to respect the run. And if you have to respect the run, then you have to give up something, which means you can't, you know, stack it deep in the back and put a cover two shell and say, hey, Patrick Mahomes, dare you to throw it, because that's what Ken Walker is going to open up. And you also have to have a healthy line, which is also a question as of right now.
That's fair.
Still 3 weeks away. So we'll get to that. Plus, we'll get to the Royals on the other side, because they do sweep the A's. They have won, I believe, 5 of their last 6. So it's a little too late. But again, where it all went wrong started in February when we talked to Vern. We'll see if they can move on from that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Noah Williams, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
I wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but pretty good at drinking beer. I'm not the type to work in a bank. I'm no good.
Pretty good at drinking beer is what they're gonna put on my tombstone.
Don't
which apparently is Creed Humphrey's favorite movie of all time.
Tombstone is, yeah.
That's what the promo says, or the drop that we have, or the liner, you would call it. Mac, what's your favorite movie of all time? Because I have my three always ready to go, and I get to ask this question.
Shawshank is definitely up there.
Yep.
Godfather's up there.
One or two?
Oof, good question. Can I say both?
Yep.
And then I'll take all the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah.
Bob, number one movie of all
Shawshank,
time?
Shawshank, yeah. Shawshank Redemption's up there. Major League, love that movie still. You know, still so much fun to watch that movie.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name. What is it? Rebecca Dorn.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. That is a good movie.
I mean, every character that Charlie Sheen plays is Charlie Sheen.
He's just doing Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole thing is just Charlie Sheen, right? Like Two and a Half Men. Yeah. Charlie Sheen. That movie, Charlie Sheen. He went to almost went to KU to play baseball.
Oh, yeah.
What was the movie he was in that was like a 80s like spoof movie? They make fun of like Top Gun. I can't remember the name of it. It's funny. Like, they show him, like, cutting the fence, whatever it is, and then he just walks in the other side of it.
Yeah.
Come on, text line.
Hot Shots?
That's it. Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, 2.
Part 2. Yeah, that's right. Hot Shots, yes.
Hilarious movie.
Oh, yeah, that was in the Spaceballs era of movies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hot and the Naked Gun, like, all those parody spoof movies that they made back in the day. Yeah.
Nice Beaver.
I will say The Odyssey might enter that for me. I'm going to go see it again in theaters. That's how good it is.
Second time?
I'm going to go see it again. I'm going to spend seven hours of my life.
That's fine.
Yeah, in the theater, watching the same movie.
You know,
it's that good.
You're familiar with Steven Serta?
Yeah.
He watched Avengers Endgame 4 times.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow.
Big movie guy, Steven Serta.
That's crazy to me.
Shout out. Love you,
Serta. That's crazy.
Smash or pass, Mac. Mm. Monday, Oreo is dropping banana pudding Oreos.
Yeah, smash. Anything banana pudding, I'm going to smash.
Smash.
Like that cheesecake those loyal listeners, the dad and son made for us that one time.
Good smash.
Big time smash.
Yep, Monday. So there you go. Smash or pass on number one acquisition the Royals should make next year are 2 bullpen arms.
I think you have to figure out a way to go out there and get your bullpen better. I mean, they have failed when it comes to the bullpen with this organization recently. And I was looking at like the numbers yesterday of the ERAs of where they kind of rank in Major League Baseball since, you know, this regime has taken over, and they're no better than 20th. And that was 2024 when it comes to bullpen ERA. This year, they're 29th, last year 24th. And in 2023, they were 28th. In bullpen ERA. And so that's got to get better. And the Royals right now spending a lot of money on their bullpen, comparatively speaking to other clubs out there that are doing good things and that are winning right now. You look at the Guardians, the Rays, Milwaukee, Detroit, they're all spending around $10 million, $15 million total on the bullpen. The Royals are up to the $20 million level on their bullpen, and they're not getting the return on investment in that. And so there seems to be a, I don't want to say wasted money on the bullpen, but when you're spending $11 million on your closer, and that's almost 10% of your payroll, and then he doesn't play that year, that's a lot of money, man. They're not getting the return on investment of the bullpen that they need to be getting on it. And I would think going into this offseason, I think you're going to have to find your bullpen arms a different way. And I would allocate the money that you would normally allocate to your bullpen for maybe better bats in your lineup, or, you know, a starting pitcher for that matter, because they've been putting a lot of money into the bullpen and it's just not working right now. And that's where they're losing all their games. I mean, you go back and you look at how many games have been blown in the late innings by this bullpen. They've done a really bad job of constructing a bullpen for this organization.
So, to play devil's advocate, last year you did have the major league leader in saves in Carlos Estevez. This year, obviously, in your brown notebook, Vern told us, I believe, on February 26th, I think it was the date, that the Estevez velocity was down and there were a lot of like concerned eyes.
23rd.
Yep. And there was a lot of concerned eyes with that. Led the league in saves last year was Estevez. I don't know what happened to Lucas Irsig.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
I can't put that blame on JJ Piccolo. I can't. He's now in AAA, got to get his mind right, but It seems like ever since that collision with Vinny at first a few years back, neither one of those guys has really been the same
since.
That's
a good point. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And boys, I don't know where you're at now with Michael Garcia, but yesterday at the game, he rounds third, and right after he rounds third, everybody's like, oh, God, and pops up, you know, looked like a hamstring, but definitely going to go to the IL now, probably done for the year.
Oh, I would imagine.
I think there's like 34 games left. There's no need, you know, rest up. I think personally, for the first time since 2021, I'm fine with this lineup going forward. I think I'm going to give Michael Garcia a bounce back here. I know he had his big year last year, got his contract. Vinny looks like he's starting to kind of come around. I know all this is way too late. We're not out here to tell you they're only 8.5 games out of the playoffs. We're not, none of that. I'm just telling you, the issue this year was the bullpen, without a doubt. Urseg losing his touch. Estevez, you know, never there. One game, boom, never see him again. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit where I think in the offseason the conversation had maybe been made. Because if Vern's saying that on February 23rd, you got to figure out, okay, if it's not going to be him, we have to have somebody in our backup plans. Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel Lynch has been fine in the bullpen this year. That's a bullpen arm. I'll take that. I think one of the ways that you rehash that is you have a bullpen arm on your team right now. That's a tough pill to swallow to admit that maybe he's a bullpen arm moving forward, and that's Cole Reagans.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Cole Reagans not being able to come back next year, now again, you have to wait until July.
July, yeah.
So you still need to address bullpen in the offseason.
If there's even a season next year.
Correct, yeah. And hopefully there is. But, you know, you can go back to, you know, the pre-JJ days, because the last time Dayton Moore was in this town was September 21st, 2022. And even those bullpens weren't great. I mean, we had Ian Kennedy as a closer in one of those years. Scott Barlow was there for 3 years. And then you look at MacArthur, Estevez, and then Urseg was this year for a little bit. Now it's kind of been, you know, Cruz, or it's been whoever. But there's no doubt in my mind, as of last year, we were talking about getting a right field bat. Who's going to be the stick in the lineup the last 2 years, right? And then now you're starting to find the fact that maybe you don't need that anymore. I think your top five next year, I'm fine with. But you've got to be able to have a bullpen. And I know we're never going to have HDH. No one's going to have that again. That's an anomaly of a bullpen. That was just one of those, like the big red, like the, what was it?
The big red machine.
Yeah. Didn't they have a crazy bullpen? Wasn't it them that had like the Mitch Williams and all those guys?
Oh, that was the Phillies had Mitch Williams.
The Phillies had that big bullpen in the late 80s.
No, that's the mid-90s, early 90s. Mitch Williams. Yeah, he was the one who got lit up by Joe Carter.
Never was the same.
Never. Oh, God, no. How could you be?
Wild thing.
Yeah.
Can you name the top five that you're good with? I'm just curious. I'm just in the names.
Yeah, so, Jensen, Bobby, Cags.
Oh, okay, overall top five players. Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know what you were talking.
In the lineup.
Heard. Yeah. Okay, lineup. Gotcha.
Because I'm okay if you'll put the guys in the right spots.
Yeah.
I would lead Jensen off.
Yep.
I would hit Bobby second. I'd hit Cags third. Yep. I'd go Garcia fourth. And then Vinny can hit fifth. And then Sal hit sixth.
Though on paper, that sounds really good.
Yeah, but we've seen the results, though, this year with that exact same lineup, and it hasn't been good, though. So that's my question, is like everybody looks now in August and
We've only seen that lineup twice.
Yeah, that lineup's been better.
That lineup put up 9 runs the first time that was together.
We saw Vinny and
and that's what I'm saying. Like, we were seeing Vinny hit third and Sal hit fourth and Cag was getting platooned. And you can go look at Cag's numbers in August. He has arrived. It is here. It is happening. We are going to have that more consistently. Bobby Witt Jr., since coming back from the DL on August 4th, 377 average, 53 at-bats, 20 hits, 9 RBI, 3 home run. Right? Bobby's going to be Bobby. And now what you have to do is, if you think that team can produce 3.5 runs a game on average, you'd hope more, you have to have somebody to patch it up in the end. And they just don't have that because the Royals right now, what, are 54-76? Or 54-75, something like that.
Yeah, they're 19 games back. Yeah.
If they have 9 games that their bullpen doesn't blow, you really are having a conversation about what the wild card might look like.
Yeah.
That's how bad this division everything. It's like, to take a Josh Allen analogy, last year you had Bo Nix, Drake May, CJ Stroud. This year, 2 teams possibly could get into the playoffs with a sub 500 record, which means you didn't have to be great. You just had to get in and do enough. and your bullpen just didn't give you that. That
23
sort of
blown saves.
Yeah. I mean, the blown saves are awful, and you can't have that next year. And that's why when you look at what they're investing in the bullpen, they have to pull that back and stop investing that big money. Because when you look at Tampa and when you look at Detroit and when you look at those peer groups that the Royals are, and, you know, they always talk about Tampa. They always talk about Cleveland being kind of their peer group. That's where they got a lot of their people in, you know, the organization right now that have come into this organization. They're from Tampa. They're from Cleveland. They're from those, you know, ways of doing business. And then you look at the way that those teams build their bullpen. I mean, Tampa and Cleveland right now have about $8 to $12 million invested in their bullpen. It's a top 10 bullpen, right? Milwaukee and Detroit have about $10 million to $15 million invested in their bullpen. It's their top 5 to 10 bullpens right now. The Royals are investing between $18 and $25 million in their bullpen, and they're a bottom 5 bullpen in Major League Baseball. So they're not investing the right way. They're investing in the wrong players. And then you look at, you know, the money that they spent over the years on free agents that didn't pan out. You know, the Hunter Renfros of the world, the mistakes that they made there with guys like that, the Garrett Hampsons, the Chris Strattons, the Will Smiths, all of those guys that they paid money to, that takes away from maybe going elsewhere and funneling that money towards maybe a better person in the bullpen. And so they've got a lot of work to do this offseason. Just because they're winning now doesn't give me any sort of hope for next season, because I don't think it matters. I don't think for any team it matters what you're doing in August and September and carrying that over. We've had these conversations year after year after year after year with the Royals, where they play well in August and September and people are like, look what could have happened. Look what could have happened. And then we get to April and it's the same song and dance. And so this is all fool's gold that I'm watching right now from a win standpoint. They've got to do it at the beginning of the year or it doesn't matter. And they've got to figure out a way to not blow leads and not waste games where they have an opportunity to win.
Shout out to Jake Hunn. It was the Nasty Boys is what I was trying to think of.
Reds. We had Rob Dibble and Dibble, those guys. The Nasty Boys. I remember them. Yeah.
Mac, go be nasty.
One word.
First name is Blake and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
1, 2, 3.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. One word on a Friday. Couldn't be a better timing for this. The Sand Trap, great local spot. Delicious food, cold drinks. TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports teams, and you can watch the Golf Channel, because if you didn't watch yesterday, you should have. You can watch today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The Advent Health Championship is on, and it's in Kansas City at Blue Hills Country Club, which is also, coincidentally, right down the street from the Sand Trap. So if you enjoy a nice day on the golf course watching these guys rip it, drive on down to the Sand Trap, and you can get a Friday special that's the Trap Club Wrap.
The Trap Club Wrap!
Trap Club Wrap, baby. 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, Chipotle ranch, or mayo. I suggest you get the Chipotle ranch. It comes with fries or the house chips for $13, or you can get a $16 10-ounce steak, baked potato, green beans. Mm. Also offering $7 vodka Red Bulls and $2 off glasses of wine. All that the Sand Trap right down the road from Blue Hills Country Club during the Advent Health Championship on a Friday.
Is Dana playing?
I think she's hanging out with pigs.
Yep. Pigs and goats.
Yep. And zebras.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun Friday. Advent and then the trap. Sign me up. How about this? Sign me up for this. Texas Tech just unveiled this new Patrick Mahomes. Let's ride. Uniforms. It's all black. Got red accents. It's got Mahomes' signature there in a Gladiator logo, which is what they call his signature. One word.
Jumpman. It's the new Jumpman. It's the new Jordan. It's the new, that's the brand the kids are going to want. They're going to want to go to a Mahomes school, right? Just like kids want to go to that Jordan school. And I hope Patrick Mahomes keeps his brand much like the Jordan brand, where it's selective. It's few and far between. What are the Jordan schools? North Carolina, Michigan? Anything else? There may be one more in that mix, but you kind of know those schools off the top of your head, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I would love to see this Patrick Mahomes logo go, where, you know, a generation
Oklahoma,
from now.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah,
UCLA,
that's right.
Oklahoma. Florida. Yeah, there's a few.
A few, but not many.
No.
You know, there's a difference between the Jordan brand and the Nike brand, right? And so that's where I want to see with Patrick Mahomes, the difference between the Mahomes brand and the Adidas brand. And I think that's kind of what they're going for. I think it's cool. I love it.
Yeah, sweet. I don't know. Speaking of Jordan brand, use that to pay their coach in Oklahoma. Looks like they're keeping him for quite a while.
Yep.
That dude got paid.
Six-year extension.
I really want to.
They like him.
I guess. I mean,
for now.
You're in the SEC. You got to start winning national championships at Oklahoma.
Yeah, make the playoffs. Be relevant every year. Missouri has dropped their new uniforms, new old Memorial Stadium 100th anniversary uniforms. One word.
Stunning. And that's from a KU fan. I thought those uniforms and that,
those
pictures were great. I love the old new look of their old school 100th anniversary uniforms. I was really stunned by those. I thought they did a great job with those. Mm-hmm. And again, if a Jayhawk can say that about the Missouri uniforms, they must be really good.
Yeah. Sharp. Now go win. Go make a statement this year, Mizzou. Eli could really use that. Not saying that his seat's hot. I'm not going that way, but yeah. New look, new stadium, new vibes. Who knows? New results.
Yeah, Austin Simmons, the Ole Miss transfer. Let's go. The lefty.
And they still got that massive dude in the backfield, Ahmad Hardy.
Yes. Yes. If Austin Simmons, like we heard Dave Pollock say, if he could throw the football, that's what Missouri's been missing. They got to have an aerial attack. Let's see if they can do it this
year. Have an NFL quarterback right now. They have Brady Cook.
NFL fined the Cowboys and Saints $500,000 each for what it called, quote, the actions that took place at the joint practices between teams earlier this week. I don't know if you saw it.
It was a slew
of fights between those two teams in the joint practice. One word.
Fun. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're you know, asking athletes who hit for a living to go hit somebody else in a different colored uniform. That's what's going to happen. I don't know if you saw the brawl yesterday at the Giants-Dolphins camp. Did you see
that
one?
Right?
I mean, it was on the far side of the field, but it was both teams. I mean, it was just a mess of people.
Yeah.
Just beating each other up yesterday.
Summer. I mean, heat. Ready. Football. Now. Please.
Yes.
Please.
Just saw this from the Chiefs 5 minutes ago. Happy birthday to Super Bowl champion and Hall of Famer Willie Lanier.
Hey, Willie Lanier. Happy
HBD.
Birthday.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, him and my dad. I bet you they're the same age. Willie may be older than my dad. I mean, 77 years old is my dad today. So
81.
81, Willie Lanier, man.
81. Yeah. Let's go, Willie.
All right. Happy birthday, Willie. One of the best of all time. One of the great human beings of all time. Yeah. One of the greatest football players of all time. Hell yeah, Willie Lanier. Happy birthday.
Better linebacking core, Bobby Bell, Willie Lanier today, or what the Chiefs have today?
them playing today. Yeah.
Yeah, them today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where my concern lies. You're worried about the deal. I don't even know the linebackers' names on this team.
Every time Bobby Bell sacks the opposing quarterback, just leaves a piece of chapstick on his chest.
Did you know Emmanuel Ogba was still in the league?
Yeah.
No.
I just found that out 2 weeks ago.
We signed him yesterday. Yeah,
exactly. But you didn't know before
that
he was still
playing. Well, he wasn't in the league at that point.
Well, then let's just go get Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, exactly. Las Vegas Raiders are eyeing improvement to Allegiant Stadium. They're trying to make a $158 million improvement to the stadium's north entry, trying to create like a front door to the stadium, a pedestrian deck, public plaza, an event deck, plus some other transportation improvements. They're seeking $75 million from the LVSA. One word.
Early. They just built that stadium.
Yeah, how old is that stadium?
It's got to be 5 or 6 years old now. I think it opened during the COVID year, if I'm not mistaken, but... You know, I always have this story in my mind when it comes to these stadiums, because years ago for our baseball trip, I want to say it was the 2018 trip, 2017 maybe, we went to Dallas and we were at the old Arlington Stadium and we were getting a tour from a friend of mine that works for the Rangers. And they're like, yeah, we're getting ready to build this new stadium. I go, this has only been here 20 years. And they go, yeah, it's time for a new stadium. And so you start to see this, like the Mets thing yesterday. Dusty and I were watching this raccoon.
Did you see that, Mac?
Citi Field put its paw up through the
hole
in the stadium.
Where your feet sit and like the peanut shells fall. this little varmint claw reaches up.
Yeah.
And then they started feeding it.
And Dusty's Dusty's like, they just built that stadium. Like, I think it's a little bit older than 15 or 16 years old.
2009 is when it opened.
Yeah, so, I mean, all these stadiums are older than we think. But that one out there, I mean, that's a little ridiculous right now. If you want those improvements and you're the Raiders, make them yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
That should not require public money. They just built that stadium. They're building another new one. A new arena's going up there. And nobody's going to Las Vegas anymore. So you want $75 million from the City Visitors Bureau. I mean, I hate to say it to you, Raiders. You just built that stadium. Build that yourself if you need a party deck or a new front door.
The Buffalo Bills are going to be like,
oh, what do you think they're going to do? I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes.
We really effed up your views of the stadium. Can you guys pay us some money to get these taken care of? No, we'll just kick them down.
Yeah, but that's the thing. These people now want everybody to pay for their stay. I think that's going to come to a screeching halt, seriously, with this Dodger thing. Who knows what's going to be unearthed? What if all of a sudden, because of this Dodger thing, everybody has to open their books in Major League Baseball or in sports in general?
Would love it.
I mean, I would too. I mean, but tell me about this one. Yesterday, this company, private equity invest into the Atlanta Falcons. Yesterday, they buy 10% of the Atlanta Falcons. They now own 10% of four different NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yep.
How is that?
Isn't that a monopoly almost?
I don't know what the right answer is on that one, but this is a league where competition is supposed to be the highlight of the league. And if you have the same ownership group involved in four of these teams, I don't like the way this is going, folks. Mm-hmm. I think this is a bad deal to allow these private equities to buy in to these NFL teams. If you want to buy into one, okay, I can understand that. But once you buy into one, you buy into one. This group is now bought into four different NFL teams. I don't like where this is going in sports.
That is one word brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. Delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. Golf, baseball, preseason football, it's all there at the Sand Trap. It is located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. And on a Friday, they've got the Trap Club Wrap, 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar, jack cheese, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, chipotle ranch, or mayonnaise. Comes with fries or house chips for just 13 bones.
Smash.
Also, for $16, you can get a 10-ounce steak, baked potato, green beans, a $7 vodka Red Bull, or a $2 glass off of wine. That didn't make sense, but $2 off glasses of wine. And if you are at the Advent Health Championship, which you should be, it's a great event over there at Blue Hills Country Club, drive on down to the Sand Trap, located on the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC, just right down the street. Coming up next, Jimmy Johnson. Well, you talk about wanting to see the books. Here they are. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Hope you're all enjoying your Friday as it rolls along. Favorite day of the week, not even close. Saturday's a good day, but Friday, we always talk about how time flies and how busy the weekends can get. It was just 3 years ago I helped my buddy coach this soccer team of young, promising talent for this young team of these ladies. He didn't have anybody that could help him out. Now this team has exploded.
Nice.
They're getting competitive. They're good. Moving on.
They moved on from you?
Yeah, they did. They got a lot better.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what you want, though.
That's right. Yeah. And now they're considered to be, now they are called the Lee Summit United Soccer Club, which includes a bunch of the teams that all got together. Now they're moving on to be more competitive. You know, you get that age where it's like, hey, do you still want to do this? And if you do, do you want to take the next step? And they all play, all the ladies, they play at Swope Soccer Village, as they, have a big tournament this weekend.
Yeah, it starts.
Moving forward. So it's, the sports world starts. I know Saturday's a big day for you.
Yeah, we got the showcase at Olathe East this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of glad I'm out of the youth soccer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think,
Enjoy it now.
You
right?
do. Yeah. High school sports are much better, because it's during the week.
Yeah.
Your weekend's back. So for all the parents out there, I will tell you this. I know you're going through it now with the youth sports on Saturdays and Sundays, and it seems like it's a long time, but it's over for me, and it went by in a blink of an eye. So while you're caught up in it and you're like, oh, I got three games this weekend or whatever it is, just enjoy it, because it is going to be over very fast, and then it's on to high school, and then you know, you're done being a parent as the kids, because then they move on to college and do that whole thing. And a lot of kids are leaving for school this weekend and, right. and have been leaving over the last week or so. My neighbor Zane, shout out to you, going up to KU this week, today, moving into Lawrence. And so I'm excited for him, because I talked to him the other day. I go, you ready? He goes, yeah, I'm ready.
See ya.
Love you, Zane. Go knock him dead in Lawrence, and we'll be rooting for you. And so that's going to be exciting to see how he does up at KU and all the kids that are going to college. But yeah, we got our showcase this weekend for, oh my God, where in the hell is that?
Once a day.
No, I mean, that's bad. That's like an 18-wheeler exploded on the interstate.
Kids, man, college. Oh my God, where is that?
But look at that. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No.
I love the cars that are trying to go around it, because they got to get to work.
My boss is going to be pissed if I'm late.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It doesn't say. It's just got a picture of it up there, and Vassos is talking. They never put the traffic up on like a graphic where this is.
There's probably...
I mean, both lines are stopped both ways.
There's probably 4 or 5 emergency respond vehicles. There's liquid all over the highway and a smoking semi. It looks like my garage in about 4 hours.
I mean, look at that. They clearly came out with the spray and sprayed that thing down, because that 18-wheeler was on fire.
So you can probably relate to this, because you threw out a first pitch with your dad when Josh Klingler dropped it.
That's right. No, I dropped it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you dropped it. Dad threw it to you.
Yeah.
So Kling, 77 today. Happy birthday, Kling.
Yep.
But this is cool. Our buddy Laszlo, I think yesterday, got to throw out the first pitch to his son.
Cool.
Oh, and awesome.
How about this post from one of the GOATs in Kansas City radio, right? One of our biggest competitors, to say the least. We've spent 1,000,000 hours together on baseball fields, practices, games, long drives, and longer weekends. He let me be a part of the decision, his decision to walk away from the game on his terms. Nobody took his jersey from him. He decided when it was time to hang it up and chase something new. And somehow we got to wrap up those 18 years by walking onto a major league field, watching him get into the catcher's stance one more time, just a few days before he leaves for college.
Yeah.
And yeah, the pitch sucked. No excuses. He goes, trying to go full Quisenberry style was a terrible idea, but the truth be told, it was going to suck anyway. Or maybe it was the perfect pitch. Messy at the end and left hanging just enough to think maybe we'll get to do it one more time, one more chance sometime in the future. Go do awesome blank to his son, and Jesus, man, throw effing strikes. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's a great post, and awesome. It's emotional. I can just feel myself getting emotional about it, because it's that father-son bond, and you always want to have those moments, and that's why, you know, the Field of Dreams game just gives you all the feels. And when, you know, Cody and Roger were trying to, you know, have a catch as a father and son, it just, every kid that grows up, you know, you play catch with your dad, and so it's really a cool moment, and that's really cool that Laszlo got to throw it out the first pitch to his kid, and yeah, he's getting ready to go away. I think he's going to NYU.
Yeah.
He's going to New college. York. Yeah. He's going off to college. And so that's awesome for him. And it just, like, time goes fast, guys. It really does. And so you're sitting here and, like, I knew Laszlo before he had kids, right? Like, you know, like it's wild to think about. People are like, you know, how long have you been at this job? I'm like, it'll be 17 years in January, the exact same age as my daughter, my oldest daughter. I started this job before I had a second child. I mean, I started this job before my nephews were born, you know, all this kind of stuff that, you know, just goes by in the blink of an eye.
And that's why you've been married.
I've been married. We got married in 08, so it'll be 18. It was 18 years. So, 19 years.
Yeah. You were still fresh into radio when you just got married.
Sort of. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got married in 08, and, you know, I got graduated in college in 09. So I had about 10 years or so under my belt, but we met 20 years ago, and that time has gone by in the blink of an eye. I've always said to her, I go, I wish we met earlier. She goes, I don't. we weren't ready for each other at that. And she's right. Any earlier, I wouldn't have been ready.
And now you're begging for a zebra.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm going to get a zebra at my 50th birthday, which I do have to shout out my friend Drew, whose mom was put in a hospice, you know. Oh. And he texted me yesterday, and I said, can I come see Ma? And he goes, yeah, you know, let us know when you want to come. And by the way, a zebra is needed at that party, you know.
It's the best way to do that, man.
It really is. That's Dixon awesome. Texted me yesterday, who's got the zebra guy. He goes, how many zebras do we need? I said, we just need the one zebra to show up at the party, and everything, you know, will be great because of that. But, I mean, you start to reminisce and think about this, the back-to-school stuff, the kids playing soccer. I mean, as much as you could say, yeah, they moved on from you, you probably still like doing that. You probably still look forward to being part of that and having that impact on those kids. I miss coaching softball. You know, only did it for a couple of years.
Right.
It wasn't because I loved going out there hitting ground balls. I loved that time with my kids and that car ride where you drive to practice and you drive home. Like, we don't even get those anymore because they're out driving. They're doing their own thing. And here's mom and dad going, do you still live here?
You wanted answers on where that wreck was.
Yeah.
My buddy Shane, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, thanks for listening. He said that 18-wheeler is a little after Nolan Road headed west on 70 or just after Blue Ridge and 70.
So 70's already
he's in the know.
But 70's already a mess out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then this just adds to the mess out there. I mean, that thing was awful.
So Jimmy Johnson released his contract?
Why? Why did this happen yesterday? Did Jimmy just get tired of listening to Jerry?
It says, does this explain Cowboys' responsibilities? Johnson shall have the right or prior approval with respect to acquisitions, releasings, and trading of all football players of the Dallas Cowboys.
Look at the way it's typed, too.
That font's on Instagram now is like an old school font.
Well, it is. That's an old typewriter font is what he had there. So that was done on a typewriter back in 1989. I think Jimmy wanted to tell finally everybody, I was the reason for this dynasty, not Jerry Jones. I had all say over personnel matters. And since I left, Jerry's had the say, and how's it gone? This is why we fired in Selma, one Jerry to the next.
I didn't know notwithstanding was one word. That's what I got from it.
One word.
Oh,
notwithstanding. One word.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
There you go.
Vern hasn't told us that.
I thought it was fantastic. Like, old man just releases contract because he's had enough.
Yeah. Tired of this.
He's tired of Jerry Jones running his mouth about being the GM. I was the guy, Jerry.
It's in writing.
It's right here.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones? Still don't know the answer to that question. I really don't know the answer to that question because somebody is. Coming up next, Now or Never, here it's on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.